In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
There's not much I can do about it now. Not after all these years, I suppose. But you know, it really isn't right. I mean, every time my name is mentioned, Thomas. Oh yes, people say, doubting Thomas. Why me? The other disciples didn't get it at first either, did they? When the women came back from the tomb that morning, they didn't believe what they told them either. But nobody says, doubting Peter or doubting Andrew, do they? Why me? Doesn't seem fair. The name has stuck. Even in India. Oh, you do know, don't you, that I travelled to India in those early days, proclaiming and preaching the gospel. The name travelled with me. Doubting Thomas. I mean, what would you have done? You saw him die on the cross, didn't you? But then, in that upper room, I just knew it was him. He said to me, put your finger here. Reach out and put your hand in my side. But I didn't need to. I knew it was not a ghost or a hallucination. It really was him, alive. And there was something else. Oh yes, it was him all right. The one who we had walked the length and the breadth of the country with, gone fishing with, shared bread and wine with. When Mary saw him in the garden earlier that day, she called him my teacher. But no, there in the upper room, he was more than that. My Lord and my God, that's what I said, and that's who he is. And no, I don't mean that I had turned this man who was our rabbi, our teacher, into a god. The way the Romans turn their emperors into gods. I don't mean that at all. He really is God. And now I come to think of it, when he walked and talked with us before he was crucified, well, it was like God walked and talked with us. Not that any of us realized it then, of course. But that's actually how it was. The one with us was the same Lord God who walked and talked with the first humans in the Garden of Eden. So I just don't know what came over me there in the upper room. It was like some power had got hold of me. And I blurted out the name of God. You know, that one we're not supposed to say. I had seen God. Like Moses. Could have touched him. Like Jacob, who wrestled with him all night. Because that's who Jesus is. Walking and talking with us in the cool of the evening. Oh yes, the Garden of Eden. That's what he's doing. Recreating and restoring it. Getting back to how it was before it all went wrong. So that we could be at one with him. An atonement, if we're going to be precise and technical about it. Think of the locks on the door of the upper room that evening. Didn't stop him, did they? What about those wounds in his hands and his side? "I've still got them," he said. "You can reach out and touch them if you like." That's what he said to me. But those wounds didn't stop him either, did they? Still at one with us. You know, all this time, for centuries, since we lost that easygoing, close feeling of being at one with God, we've been trying to keep him at arm's length, being afraid of him, as if he was a bad-tempered parent. Or we thought we were too big to hold his hand anymore. Or we thought we knew better than him. What a shame. What a waste. How often have you said to yourself, if only we could get it all back. If only it could be like it was. When we really could be at one with God, and not have that sort of nagging feeling inside that something's wrong, something's keeping us apart. If only we could feel easy and natural in his presence, with nothing between us. But we can, we did. That's what suddenly hit me in the upper room. Jesus had been with us on the roads, in the fields. We had eaten and talked together, all natural and completely at one. And there he was, my Lord, my God. I said it first. For all to hear. And yes, the others did get the message. And you call me doubting.